Well, hello, and welcome to another Tech Doctor podcast. So glad you could join us this evening. We have someone on here tonight who has been here before. Her name is Woody Anna Dresner, and she has a brand new book out all about teaching us how to use the iPhone. And Anna, it's great to have you back. Welcome to the Tech Doctor podcast again.
Well, thank you, Robert. It's really nice to be back. I appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about this new book, and you had, I would assume, great success with the first book that you and Dean Martineau did about the iPhone. I know I always thought of it as the iPhone Bible for blind users, and I guess maybe now we have the New Testament, huh?
Well, thanks very much. That first book was basically about the iPhone using iOS 4, and it did seem to work well for a lot of people, which I'm very pleased about. But then, of course, this last fall, we got iOS 5 and the new iPhones with Siri. And so there were some things that needed to be updated. And so basically what this is a new edition of that book with the information about the new operating system and Siri as well. So it should be good for people just getting started and also hopefully helpful to people who already know something but want to know about the new features.
Well, I consider myself to be a real student of the iPhone. I mean, I love it so much and really have taken the time to learn everything I can about it. And I have now read this new edition of the book twice, once in Braille, which, of course, it's available in hard copy Braille and electronic Braille from the National Braille Press. But I also listened to the book in the DAISY format that the National Braille Press produced and found things in there that I had not known or had forgotten about. So I really think this book is good for anyone who has any interest in the iPhone, maybe even for someone who wants to figure out whether they want an iPhone or not.
Well, that's certainly good to hear, because certainly when Dean and I did the first edition and I did the update, I mean, the goal has been to try to be helpful to people at a variety of levels, whether you're just considering it or you've been using one for a while. So I'm glad that it's working out that way for you.
Well, Apple is really moving at a fast speed. There were lots of changes from iOS 4 to iOS 5, and so I can see why it would warrant an update like this to the book. And I don't know how to think of it exactly. It's not completely a new book, but it sure does seem to have a lot of new stuff in it.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, of course, a lot of people were hoping that I could do a supplement that you could just use along with the old book. But there were so many changes. It's not that most of them are that major in themselves, but there were enough of them that I decided that if I tried to go the supplement route, we would end up being, you know, I would end up with something that would be very confusing, because it would be saying, okay, you know, you can read this information out of this book and then go to the supplement for this and then go back to the main book for this. And I certainly didn't think that any beginner would want to mess around with that. It's not like you could just say, well, it's all the same except for these two things. And so, although there is certainly a lot that comes out of the original book, especially teaching some of the basic skills and that sort of thing, there was just enough new information that I didn't see any way to do it other than create a whole different book.
Last week, I did a podcast with Jolie Mason from California, and she said something interesting that I had not really given much thought to, but I suspect it's something that a lot of people maybe think about if they're considering an iPhone, is that there are quite a few gestures that one has to learn that a sighted person not using VoiceOver doesn't have to know anything about. And she was kind of commenting that, you know, it would have been nice if somehow Apple could have made the experience for the VoiceOver user more similar to the sighted user. Of course, technically, I mean, my opinion is that Apple probably did the best that they could to make things work as smoothly with voiceover. But one thing your book does a really nice job of is covering all these gestures. And it seems like that's perhaps one of the things that people are the most afraid of or worried about is, will they be able to operate that touchscreen? Will they be able to do those gestures? And so I was glad to see that, you know, you all gave those a lot of attention, including an appendix with the gestures. So it seems like that's a really important thing for people to get comfortable with.
It absolutely is. The gestures, of course, are critical. And so really, the book approaches them in a couple of different ways. Most of the gestures are introduced throughout the text as you need them, so that if you are new to the iPhone, and or if you're the kind of person who wants to go through it and have someone kind of holding their hand and teaching them things as it go along, you have that. But if you're the kind of person who just wants to have it all in one place or have some place that they can look something up, then that's why I did the appendix, so that you have the ability to find what you need regardless of which way you prefer.
One thing that, you know, I've struggled with a bit about this book and similar reference materials like it, I always have the try to make a decision. Do I want to buy the hard copy Braille? Do I want to buy the DAISY version? Do I want to buy the doc version or the text version, whatever is available as also as a download? Do you view this book as a hard copy Braille book to be most efficiently used? I'm just curious if you have thoughts about that.
I just really think it depends on the person and how they learn the best. Also, where you are in the world might matter. If you're somewhere out of the U.S., having a download in whatever format might be preferable to the hard copy. But if you're deafblind, or if you really like learning, you know, by looking at the book, then, you know, having something in front of you, then obviously that's a good thing. And so I just really think which is going to be best just depends on how you learn. I will say that, I mean, I assume the DAISY version has all the heading levels that I put into the original, so that you can move around by major, minor sections. I had three heading levels in the book, and if those are all reflected in the DAISY version, you should at least be able to find what you want pretty quickly in the DAISY version.
Well, yes, that's right. There are three heading levels in the DAISY version. And of course, as you drill down into further levels, the finer your movement is through the book. If you get down to level three, you're going to hit on all of the headings, the major and minor ones. And so I find that the DAISY book does really work quite well in that regard, in terms of being able to navigate. You can really navigate through the headings much like a hard copy Braille reader would use the table of contents.
And of course, if you happen to be using a device with a Braille display, you could still use the DAISY navigation and get Braille. Also, there's an EPUB version, so if you already know how to use iBooks, you could load that into iBooks, and then you would have both heading navigation and search, and you would have Braille there too if you have a Braille display. Now, reading something on the same device that you're working with can be awkward, so you may want to do that on a different player, but it's just another option, you know, trying to make this as flexible as possible.
I was going to ask you about EPUB, because I didn't actually realize that there was an EPUB version, but I thought it would be nice if people who wanted it could have that option to bring it into iBook, so I'm really glad that that's available.
Yeah, a couple of things didn't quite come through properly, like the tables, each cell ends up on its own line instead of being, you know, laid out in a table, and that's just because I really don't know how to do detailed conversion. Yeah, I basically did some work with it to make sure that the heading levels worked, and that's about as far as I could go, but at least it does do that.
I'm assuming that it will also, if it's just a regular EPUB, that it will also work with the Bookle EPUB reader for the Mac.
I suppose it probably would, and, you know, it should work on something like a Victor Stream, although in that case, if you're going to use that, you'd probably use the DAISY version, because then you do get text, the full text, and the audio synthesized, but at least you do get both.
So what I'm going to do here is play the DAISY introduction to the book to let you all hear a little bit about what the book is about, hear what the Daisy introduction sounds like as it's read by the speech synthesizer that the National Braille Press used to produce the Daisy version. So here we go with the introduction to getting started with your iPhone and iOS 5 for blind users.
Introduction. Dean purchased his first iPhone in July 2009, and I bought my first one in March 2010. Both of us were excited to get to try out this first mobile phone / PDA with a built-in screen reader. There was a bit of a learning curve, but it wasn't too bad. Since then, we have used our iPhones to check email and Twitter, listen to music, listen to radio programs from faraway places, zip through podcasts and audiobooks at double speed, read ebooks, verify our walking or driving locations, identify currency, pay bills and transfer funds, monitor the weather across the planet, time recipes, awaken to the alarm clock, be reminded of appointments, exchange text messages, play all sorts of games, including solitaire, word games, role-playing games, and chess, get driving directions, play the auto harp and ocarina, fight with a lightsaber that makes different sounds as you move your hand around, scan barcodes, make and mix down multi-track recordings, cure a headache, and even make and receive telephone calls. We are blown away by the power and flexibility of this device. To be able to do so much with a gadget that fits into a pocket is absolutely amazing. And it's accessible out of the box. We hope that this book will give you an idea of what is possible on the iPhone and will help you get started using one. Organization of this book, Part 1 tells you what you need to know before you can start using your iPhone. It gives advice on purchasing an iPhone, registering it, turning on the voice-over screen reader, and loading the content you want. In Part 2, you get to turn on your iPhone and begin to use it. We help you explore the home screen, configure basic settings, make phone calls, and type using the on-screen keyboard, a Bluetooth keyboard, and the Braille display keyboard. We also help you get started with Siri, a feature of the iPhone 4S that lets you control many aspects of the iPhone by voice. Part 3 goes through the wide variety of apps that come with the phone and are not covered in Part 2. We throw in a bonus app, iBooks. While it doesn't come built-in, we know a lot of you like to read, so including it seemed like a good idea. You'll also learn how to purchase apps, music, and other fun content, and how to keep your apps up to date. Unless you have an iPhone 4S, the main way to communicate with the iPhone is through a variety of gestures, specific ways of touching the iPhone screen. We present these gestures throughout the book, teaching new ones as they are required by the programs we are introducing. If you'd like to see all the gestures listed and explained in one place, Appendix A is for you. Appendix B includes answers to frequently asked questions, and Appendix C lists resources you can use to learn more. I wrote a journal as I learned to use the iPhone, and you can read it online at http://ifc/nbp/publications/iphone-journal.html. You might want to take a look for several reasons. If you aren't sure whether you want an iPhone, it should give you some idea of the joys and pitfalls of using one. If you've purchased one and are having trouble, it might be comforting to see that others find the process of using it challenging at times. It explains what some very popular apps do, and in some cases it tells you a little about how to use them. Finally, we hope that seeing how someone else handled difficulties will help you develop strategies for getting through the rough times so you can enjoy your iPhone as much as possible. While this book focuses on the iPhone, most of it also applies to the iPod Touch. The main differences between the two are that the Touch has no phone or built-in GPS, and if it's older than September 2010, it doesn't have a camera. Unlike the iPhone, the Touch can only get online via Wi-Fi, wireless connection, not a cellular network. Much of what we say also applies to the iPad, Apple's tablet device, especially the information on configuring it and loading content. However, the iPad screen is much larger than that of the other devices, and most screens are laid out differently to take advantage of the larger size. Consequently, navigating is a bit different. My husband has an iPad, and when I tried it, I had the odd experience of working with something that was much like, and yet quite different from, the iPhone. Things change quickly in Apple world. iOS 5 was released in October 2011, and there has already been one update, with another expected soon. Between that, and Apple's frequent updates to iTunes, don't be surprised if things don't always work exactly as we say they will. We did our best, but it's a moving target. That's why we tell you how to find the manual, and where to get more help. With these preliminaries out of the way, let's get started.
I think this book has enough of the basic concepts and information that it'll be quite good for people to use for some time to come, unless there's just some huge radical changes in iOS 6 that none of us anticipate at this point. But
well, I certainly hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. But that introduction does give you an idea, and also it's fairly easy to locate these different parts that were mentioned, these different sections as we talked about. Certainly in the hard copy Braille, there's a table of contents, and in the DAISY, you can move as we talked about. So it really is a reference book, and I don't know whether you have thoughts about how people can best read this book. I tend to just kind of sit down with it and read it all the way through, but I suppose it's set up in such a way that people could pretty easily jump to sections that they're interested in. I guess that's part of your thought about doing it the way you did.
Yeah, I mean, if you are brand new to the iPhone, then I think it would make sense to start at the beginning, but I don't think that you should just sit there and read it without the iPhone in front of you. I mean, you could if you were trying to figure out if you wanted to use one, but if you're new to the iPhone, the book walks you through the whole process of turning it on and exploring the screens and doing things, and you're going to get the most out of it, I think, for as a new user, if you do all those things along with the steps that are in the book, because, you know, then you can try stuff. And, you know, we did try to cover things so that, you know, like it will say you could experience this, this, or this, and here's what it means, you know, precisely so that you can work along with it, because then it's going to stick in your head. On the other hand, if you already know how to make phone calls and explore the home screen and whatnot, then you're probably going to want to just go through and look at topics and see what's new. If your iPhone's already set up, you might not want to bother with the section on setting up your iPhone. There is a certain amount of building that goes on in terms of assuming that you know certain things at certain points. But if you already know the basics, then just read the parts that interest you.
Yeah, I had the impression that it's laid out in such a way that someone who doesn't know anything about the iPhone is going to get introduced to the things that they need first and master those before moving on to some of the more subtle, more complex aspects. At the same time, though, there is plenty of detail for people who want to learn the finer points of using Siri or using text selection, or, you know, one thing that really struck me in the book was how often it's possible to get more out of the thing that you're working with if you remember to do something as simple as double tap and hold, that will oftentimes bring up a sort of a context menu or give you more options than what you would have, especially if you're doing things like selecting text. So there's plenty of detail, and that's why I think the book is really applicable across the board to anybody who wants to use one of these devices, especially an iPhone, but an iPod Touch, and even I think an iPad user can learn a lot from this book. Although I sort of agree with you, as you were saying in your introduction, that, you know, the iPad, it works the same, but it really feels different.
Yeah, because everything's laid out very differently, and finding things, different strategies are going to work. You're going to spend a lot more time, I think, on the iPad. I haven't used one all that much, but it seems like you're going to spend a lot more time moving your hands around, exploring the screen, trying to figure out where stuff is than the flicking back and forth. Whereas, you know, on the iPhone, sometimes that's a fairly reasonable way of finding out what all the elements on a particular screen are, but there's just too many on most iPad screens. You probably wouldn't want to do that. So some of the strategies are just going to be different. And certainly a lot of the stuff we tell you about how the screens are arranged and stuff is not a ring true. You know, so if you're okay with that, fine. But if you want it all spelled out, or, you know, if we need it to be all spelled out in great detail of what to expect, you might find it frustrating.
I'm a little surprised in some ways, I guess, that there haven't been more books that are similar to yours about using the iPhone with VoiceOver. How long does it take you to produce something like this?
I started working on it a little bit in by the end of October. Of course, I'm sort of subliminally working on it before that because I got the iPhone 4S as soon as it came out so that I could experiment with it and, you know, start learning things, because it's really helpful. The more you've actually done something yourself, the easier it's going to be to teach. But I guess I got going probably more in earnest in November, December, and turned it in March. But I could have done it sooner if I were spending more time on it. I am working part-time for NLS tech support, and I am homeschooling my son, and I do a radio show on Mushroom FM. So, you know, coming up with the time is really challenging. But yeah, it's definitely a very intense process, especially because the way I write something like this, if I'm telling you to follow certain steps, I'm doing them as I write them, just to make sure that what I'm saying is accurate and that I didn't forget some detail or whatever. So all of that takes a lot of time, and, you know, checking to make sure that the steps really do work the way I say they do. And then, of course, I had several people look it over afterwards to make sure that, or at least, you know, to try to cover anything that I forgot, see if someone else found things that were strange or didn't make sense. So it's pretty time consuming.
I was really thinking about that process when you were talking about it. Clearly, this book is written from the perspective of someone who uses this device and who has had these experiences. And I know there's even a reference to a journal that you can access on the National Braille Press site that you wrote while you were learning to use your iPhone when they first came along. And so I think that's one of the things that makes this book really appealing, is that it's written by someone who understands the subtleties of the difference between using VoiceOver and not, or how important a particular audible tone is to let you know that this or that thing is happening on the screen. But I can imagine that, you know, for most of us, and I'm sure you're this way, a lot of using the iPhone after a while just sort of becomes automatic. But when you have to go back and describe how to do it to somebody, it's like trying to tell somebody how to tie a shoe that's never tied one before. You know, it's like it can get much more complicated to explain, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to break it down. You know, fortunately, some of the really basic work had already been done in the first edition. So, you know, that was really nice not having to completely start over. But there are a lot of steps in trying to make sure that you get them all in. Then there's just the really weird logistical ones, like trying to write about how to set up your iPhone. Well, there's so many different ways of doing it. You know, you could be setting it up completely on the iPhone. You could be doing some of the setup on the computer, some of it on the iPhone. You could be restoring your iPhone from an iTunes backup or from an iCloud backup. And I mean, there's so many more ways to do some things than there used to be, that figuring out how much information to include is really hard. Do you include every possible way? You know, that's probably going to be too confusing. But do you give only include one? You know, or are you then limiting people's choices? I found that really challenging in places, trying to figure out how much detail and how many different possibilities to mention.
Seems like, you know, in offering a lot of options, like restoring from iCloud or restoring, you plugging a cable into your computer or restoring over the air when you plug in your phone have it connected to Wi-Fi and you plug it into the power outlet, then certain things get restored. I mean, Apple has opened the door in terms of giving us flexibility, but in a way, I think that they've also made the process more confusing for people, because unless you just really study this stuff, people don't really understand the subtle differences between those different options. And so I could just imagine that kind of stuff is not easy to explain and to figure out what to put in and what to leave out and all that. So I would guess you probably spent a lot of time when you were homeschooling and when you were working on these other projects you're doing, you probably spent a lot of time somewhere in your subconscious sorting out how to go about this. It's really kind of fascinating to think about.
Yeah, it was a challenge. And then one thing I did that was kind of fun was I read David Pogue's book on the iPhone, which is incredibly detailed. If you really want a book that has every feature of the iPhone imaginable, it's an amazing book. Of course, it doesn't have accessibility. I mean, he tells you how to turn on VoiceOver, but that's about it, because, you know, that's as detailed as he's going to get. But it was fascinating because, you know, seeing how he handled certain situations, like the setup, basically, you know, he just basically had you set everything up from the phone and pretty much left it at that because, you know, if you're a sighted user and all of that, it's not that bad, or you can have it done in the store or whatever. But, you know, it was interesting to see. And in some cases, I learned some interesting little tidbits that were useful. But then there's some stuff I just didn't even get into, like the calendar section, you know, that I have in there does tell you what you need. But what it doesn't say, because I just didn't want to go into this, was that you could turn the thing sideways if you have the orientation lock turned off, and you get this completely other view of the calendar.
Yeah.
Which I found that out kind of toward the end of when I was working on it, and I went, you know, I think that's just more information than we need to do here. I think it's just going to confuse people, and it's interesting, but I didn't think it added that much. And so in the end, I mean, I sort of debated about, do I mention that it's there but not really say anything about it, or, you know, not? And in the end, I decided to just leave well enough alone because it just didn't seem like it added that much functionality, and it was likely to be confusing.
It's amazing that the product is so feature rich, especially when you start talking about all the apps and all the things you can do with them. There is no way that all that could be covered in one book. But it seems like, from what I can tell, you've done a nice job of covering 99% of the things that most people who use VoiceOver will need to know to at least get off to a good start with this product. I've read the David Poe book and a few other books on the iPhone, and there are other resources. Are there other things that you used that you might also recommend to people? I mean, that's been one thing I've heard a lot of people kind of complain about, is that there aren't enough training materials or enough informational materials. And of course, this book is a good one, but what about others?
Absolutely. And that's why the last section is totally devoted to other resources. Of course, the Apple Viz site, which is just, you know, a wonderful place to go because there's always people putting in new content. So it's very dynamic and
it's really growing.
So you really can get current information. I think that's one of the best. And I mentioned some of the magazines, and I know National Braille Press is selling some tactile models of some of the screens. I haven't seen those, but, you know, for some people that might be pretty helpful. So I tried to be, I tried to include things that I thought might, that would help, because, and obviously the mailing lists are good as well, like the VIPhone list and stuff. I mean, that list is huge, but, you know, it certainly is true that if you have a question about an app, you know, it's a good place to go to ask a question, because the chances that somebody in the thousand readers of that list might know the answer are pretty good.
Yep. And thank goodness for threaded mail, so you can get through those topics
Oh, yeah.
more quickly. because that and the Mac Visionaries list and are really busy list, but there is good information there if you can find the time to sort through it and find the tidbits that you really are needing at a given moment. I mean, that's one thing, I guess. It seems like the Apple Viz and your book and a few other resources have really filled a badly needed gap in this process. The technology is, you know, the hardware is great and the accessibility to it is great, but I fear that people don't a lot of times get the information that they need to really make use of it. I mean, you know, some people just aren't into spending the whole weekend or week or month sitting around playing with their iPhone to try to figure out how to make it do this or that. I personally enjoy that, but you know, certainly my wife, who's sighted, she doesn't want us. She just wants it to work, and right. There are a lot of people like that.
Oh, absolutely. I felt like the learning curve on the iPhone was certainly better than I expected before I had one. And it seems like a lot of people take to it pretty well. And it seems like if you've had vision at some point, it seems like those people tend to take to it really well. But it's certainly important to have the places where you can look up information.
Yeah, I hope we continue to grow those places. And there are some exciting communications going on. I don't know whether you've tried the new Zello app or not, which is a walkie-talkie app that a lot of people who are blind have really taken to all over the world. And people are on there helping each other and talking back and forth about all kinds of technologies as well as other things. But it feels like it's just nice to see the communication opening up a little bit. And I think this book contributes to that whole, I don't know if it's a movement, but it certainly has a bit of a different feel as far as the information that's there than it did even, I would say, a year ago.
Well, I hope so. I certainly think, you know, that with a lot of these last few technologies that, you know, it's been a lot of the time it's blind people helping each other to learn the stuff, which is really a neat thing, as opposed to expecting somebody else out there to do it.
I don't know whether there's anything that you can think of, Anna, that we've failed to mention about the book or that you would want people to know about the book. I guess we're kind of coming to the end maybe of giving the kind of overview that I wanted to give about it, but is there anything that you want to be sure and mention that we haven't?
Well, one thing I just wanted to make clear was that while the book does include information about Siri, it is by no means just for 4S owners. The Siri section I tried to make, you know, useful and helpful, but it's a pretty small percentage of the book as a whole. And everything else is basically relevant regardless of which iPhone you have. And there's apps like the camera app where it's different on the 3GS from the other two. And, you know, I talk about what's different about those camera screens and stuff. So don't think, even if you have a 3GS that's, you've had it for a couple of years or whatever, don't think that there won't be anything useful here.
Even if you don't have Siri, it's fun to learn about it. It might even be fun to go listen to Jonathan Mosen's audio boo about it that you mentioned in the book, because that's a fun thing to listen to.
I really liked that. I liked the mix of practical and humorous stuff that he demonstrated in that. That was a good combination.
So if you don't mind, there may be people who don't automatically know how to order the book or how to get in touch with NBP. Would you mind giving out that contact information?
Sure. The easiest thing is just to go to www.nbp, as in National Braille Press, .org, and search for iPhone on the search box on the main page, and it'll pop up. You can also call 888-965-8965, extension 520 is the catalog department. So you can order it that way.
And I believe the cost of the book is $22.
Right.
And there are several different options, as we said, just to review quickly. There's the hard copy Braille. I believe it's a 3-volume set. And there are several download options, including the DAISY option, a .brf option, .txt option, I believe.
Yeah, if you order a text version, I believe you get both word and text.
You get both word and text. And you taught me that there's also an EPUB, so lots of different formats to get the book in.
If you're ordering it internationally, I believe you need to call because I think there's a problem in terms of credit cards on the website if they're coming from other countries. I think it's 617-266-6160 is the non-toll-free number. I think that's right. I hope so.
Okay. And for those who want to check it out more on the web, I will, of course, put a link directly to the page, to the National Braille Press page for the book in the show notes.
And that does include the table of contents, so you really can see very clearly what kind of topics are covered.
Yeah, if our little introduction didn't completely inform you, check out the table of contents when you go on the website. Well, thank you so much, Anna, for coming on and talking about the book, and I hope it is just as successful or even more than the first one was, and hope your cold gets better.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to this edition of the Tech Doctor Podcast. If you want to get in touch with me, it's techdoctor123@gmail.com. Until next time, always keep in mind that learning is all in your head.